Happy Monday, everybody. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call simulcast with BBS Radio. And we are conference line and BBS, and that's redundant. My associate, Terry Brown, is on the line. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah.
And if anybody happens to be listening for the first time, this is a call that's based on the experiences I had when I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, where I started to have communications with voices in other realms that identified themselves by the name the Council of Elohim. And this has been going on for 7 years, 8 years. And on these calls, on our Monday night calls, we actually have a conversation with our source. Mary, are you making background noise?
Pardon?
Are you making background noise there?
Yeah.
Maybe record and mute there, Wynn.
I'll mute.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't forget to record and mute.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. We have conversations with our sources right here live on this line, and we ask questions that are not easy for a human to, I would say perhaps impossible for a human to answer, and they share with us various aspects of, well, it depends on the topic, and tonight I had announced that we were going to talk about how the universe was created, which has been an ongoing topic, in particular, how the negative got started into this realm. Obviously, if there was a benevolent source that created the universe, which the Elohim seemed to take credit for, things have worked out in a way that for many people is not as difficult, and we wonder why that difficulty started. Before I start recording, Heise was saying hello to people as they were calling into the conference line. Heise, who's on the line tonight?
We have Renee for the first time from Portland, who is listening to her PC right now. Gina is here. Julie, oh hi, she's sick. We'd love to have some medical help from our side. We help her in our team here. Michael, San Diego, Linda, and Florida.
Greetings.
Is that Michael?
Yes.
Hi, Michael. Is this your first time?
No, actually, I was in the call on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
That was my first time.
Fantastic. You sound very grounded. Are you a good actor? Are you really grounded?
No, I'm really grounded.
You are? Okay. Well, good. A lot of times...
That doesn't mean I can't go out of my body at will, so...
Okay. No, being grounded doesn't mean bad. Just a lot, a lot of people that are into metaphysical, spiritual things sometimes get their upper chakras going, and they miss out on their lower chakras, and they think it's not important. But
yes. Or they deny it.
Or they deny it, exactly. Who else is on the line?
Mary Kay in Long Beach.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey.
And who else is on the line?
Lynn, Francis, in Concord, California.
Hi, Francis.
Hi, Lynn.
And who else is on the line? Mary Kay, I missed you over the weekend.
Me too.
We had a really good day. We did a workshop in Huntington Beach. And the workshop, Terry was answering people's questions, and she did awesome. And somebody took some pictures, and I'll send them out. You guys can see what she looks like when she's... Is that okay, Terry, to send them out? She's on mute. What she looks like when she's... When she's channeling live, which is not an ordinary experience. She's so shy that she can't even chattel with me around. I'm in the car downstairs. Usually I'm in another state. In any case, anyone else on the line?
Gary from Malibu. Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Gary,
I'm
going to start my tape recorder.
Hi, it's Juan Garcia from Diamond Bar, California.
Juan Garcia. Juan, I met you. Aren't you the guy that came with Risha?
Yeah, I was online the other day.
You were? Okay. Diamond Bar is right near Pomona. Is that right?
Got it. Yeah, right next door.
Right next door. I used to stay at that hotel there years ago.
Shiloh,
the one that's right where the 60 meets the 57.
I think the Best Western.
Hang on a second. I'm going to start the recording. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Well, for those of you that are listening on the replay line, this is Monday, March 8th, and this is our simulcast recording BBS radio and conference line. And one of the things that I noticed when...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
One of the things I noticed when I started channeling or have this experience of channeling and is that when we started doing this, there would be this energy that I would feel present in the room. And this is an energy that I felt even years ago. I felt it in the room sometimes when I played music. I felt it in a room sometimes when I went to see a certain spiritual teacher. And for me, I was always been very sensitive to energy, so that it kind of looked like, hard to explain, an aura around the whole room. A light aura, not colors, just kind of if I try to put it in words, it won't come out right. If I say white cloud, it's not really a white cloud. It looks more like how the heat looks when it's rising from a toaster. And over a number of months of asking questions about this, our sources said that that was them beaming in. And that they were able to start from where they were, and according to the way they explained it, and this is not an unusual view of things, there's other people that look at the universe in this way, that the universe is a multidimensional hologram. Multidimensional means all these different timelines. Some people use the word sacred geometry as the way timelines are interfaced. And the whole entire hologram is one being, one feeling, one energy. And
entry and exit chimes are off.
And our sources call this the law of one. And that in our realm, on Earth, we are fairly well disconnected from the direct experience of this oneness. And it's something that can be attained, but it doesn't happen naturally. So when you start looking at the universe as one energy, that means that you and I are part of the same energy. We are one, except we're also not one because you have your body and I have my body, and you have your location, and I have my location. So in order to experience oneness, some part of us has to move into another dimension without losing the part of us that is in this dimension. In other words, not astral traveling, so to speak, where you leave your body and go from one place to another, where you're in your body and you're also extended from your body into other realms. And one of the aspects of spiritual evolution is learning how to do this somewhat consciously. Now, everyone does this, but they don't know because your physical senses don't necessarily see it. But I at this workshop, I gave an example yesterday where if you're in a movie and you're sitting in a movie theater with a bunch of people and it's a really good movie, when the movie is over, everyone in the room can look at each other and the barriers are down. The movie became a catalyst to create an experience of oneness for everyone present. And when they leave the movie, there is this feeling very often, particularly on a really good movie, people don't leave the movie and they don't even talk. Other movies, they're all chatting, but when they leave the movie and they're not talking and they have been really touched, they have connected with each other in oneness. So that's one example of many that everyone can relate to. Music is the same thing. You go to a certain music concert, there's an experience of oneness or coming together of energies. And oneness does not mean glommed together. It doesn't mean losing your individuality. It means accessing, while you're still an individual, the part of you that exists in other people. And the truth of the matter is that people that learn to access this are usually considered to be far more individualistic than people that don't. People that are afraid of losing themselves. But when you're in that place where you're afraid of losing yourself, then that's where you are, and you have to work from there to become comfortable with letting go and expanding yourself to include others. And when I say others, on this line, others does not just mean other humans, because once you start expanding into other dimensions, others can mean, well, we have two group souls that say they're paying attention to us while we're on this line, and they are open to making connection with the people on the line who are open to making connection with them. And essentially, and I've said this over and over again, it's a higher part of yourself meeting a lower part of yourself. So when you're on this line, you notice I talk slowly in the spaces. If you feel the energy in the spaces, you're starting to feel the energy of other dimensions. And as I've said, when you start to master this experience of tuning in to higher dimensions, and when I say higher dimensions, I should qualify that to say higher dimensions of a positive nature, because not all higher dimensions are positive. There's negative as well as positive. And there's what you could even say would be high negative. Negative entities that have magical powers, ability to be psychic and control things, project thoughts, and even channel. So whenever you're exposed to anything that talks about higher dimensions and connection with higher dimensions, you have to scrutinize it fairly carefully to make sure it's positive. So on our call tonight, we're going to actually discuss with our source how the negative got started, what's its agenda, and how to discern for yourself what's positive and what's negative. And this is a very important thing to understand in this realm, because I know that there's many people that would think of themselves as being positive, and they are positive in their intent, but they don't have the discernment to know the difference about what's negative, because the negative will do anything it can to look positive, and it's easy to be tricked. The raw source in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce referred to the idea of trickster entities, and even Edgar Cayce, who my book makes the case of channeling a group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm, that identifies itself as the raw group, even Edgar Cayce was subject to making mistakes and bringing through negative sources from time to time, and couldn't tell the difference. And in fact, the book makes the case that Edgar Cayce's most famous prophecy, which is the one where he says California is going to go in the water, Europe will disappear in the twinkling of an eye, probably the most quoted of his prophecies, actually came from a negative source. And that when I studied the Cayce readings while I was writing the book, I studied that, looked up that particular reading after reading what I just told you in the Wilcock channelings, and that particular reading was signed not by, it had a byline and it had a name, and I don't want to say it because I don't want to invoke it, but it was a different name that brought that reading forth than the other channelings. And in other channelings of Cayce, where I looked for that name through the whole Cayce CD-ROM, that particular name came up a few more times. One time, that source said, "I am in the heavens as Christ was to your planet." Another time, it said that the Cayce study group, there was a Cayce study group that would oversee Cayce's readings and give advice, helping with the discernment aspect, deciding what they liked and what they didn't. And they decided at a certain point not to call on that source anymore, and that they weren't sure they trusted it, and they wanted to rely on the source which they believed was the Christ, which we make the contention is the raw group. Now, I'm not going to explain all of that. That's like a whole couple-hour discussion. But the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, goes into great detail. And you can decide for yourself if that's the way it works. But the implication is that the way the universe evolves over hundreds of thousands of years is that souls graduate from this realm. They graduate and they get off the wheel of reincarnation. And when they do, they are pure energy, and they group together, and the group of souls that have graduated works with planetary populations that are still stuck here going through cycles of reincarnation. And that particular group soul is identified as the Ra group. And throughout our history, it's been one of those sources, maybe the principal source of a positive nature that has made many interventions on our planet, including talking in the ears of the prophets and the Confucian, not Confucius, but the Buddhas and the Mohammeds. They didn't actually say that, but it was implied. And they have the ability to channel. And the other source is the Elohim source, which does not have bodies. And in our group on this line, the source that talks to us says they're a conglomerate or a cooperative venture between these two group souls, and that one group soul has more wisdom because they've been here and done that, and the other group soul seems to have more power because they're at the top of creation. And so oftentimes when people come onto these lines, amazing things happen. Sometimes I get emails every so often about healings. I get people, I know I was going to put them on earlier. There's a very old friend of mine that I've known 30 years who's on the line tonight. And, you know, I introduced him to my work a couple years ago. And then a few months ago, he apparently made connection vibratorily. And the Ra group said, and this is on Message a Day, we can try this. We'll just do it now. We do this every Sunday, but this is what they said. And I said, I wonder if that works. And now we do it every Sunday on our grid healing. When you send your energy up through the top of your head, they can catch it and send it back, and it's much stronger. And then you're in a connection with them. You might try that right now. Shut your eyes and send your energy up. And some of you can feel that. You know, when I do these workshops, live workshops, I did a live workshop yesterday, it's always, never ceases to amaze me, because the workshop yesterday was probably, went from 1:30 till about 10 at night, with an hour break for dinner. 1:30 for 10, it's like 9 hours. And when I think about it in advance, I think, what am I going to do for 9 hours? And then when the group comes together, and this happens almost every time, sometimes it's weaker because it depends on who's in the room, because it's not me doing it. It's a group energy that's incorporating the energy of these sources. But for 9 hours, I mean, it wasn't because I was interesting. It wasn't because we were doing all these techniques. For 9 hours, there was an energy in the room, and even if I stopped talking, people could feel that energy. And I don't believe anyone got bored for that 9 hours. And of course, at the end of it, Terry did a channeling, and people asked questions. So, for me, I've observed this for a long time, and I can't find fault with the way I understand it. And so if you keep paying attention to what we're doing, there's a really good chance you'll make connection. Paying attention means reading the books, coming to the conference calls, reading Message a Day, and intending to make a connection, not being afraid of a connection. And to not be afraid, you have to read the sources, study them to make sure, hey, I feel comfortable connecting with that energy. So on that note, we have Terry on the line, and we have the ongoing topic, how the universe was created. And the subtopic today is, where did the negative come from? In other words, somewhere way back, there was a group energy created a physical realm. And if you go back and listen to some of the archives of these Monday calls, they've kind of gone into explaining to us how this realm got started. And I'm not going to guarantee you'll understand it. It's it has to do with sending energies and nodes and DNA, and I myself would have to go back and listen to it two or three times to grasp it. And I'm not even sure I get a lot of intuitive stuff, and a lot of people have been listening. And I will say it's far more complicated than Let There Be Light. And I should also say, if we are talking to sources that created this realm, which the Elohim says they did, they really are not encouraging us to worship them, to think of them as God in the way that religion has mocked up the idea of God. They're an energy like us, a bigger energy. They're an energy that has more freedom than we do. They can move through realms, and they can help us. And the way they describe it is, in their best-case scenario, they would like to befriend us, be an energy that befriends us, that just like when you're with somebody and you can feel their energy, and it feels really good to be with somebody that you share energy with, this is learning how to share energy with a source that is outside this dimension. And it's hard to find an energy like that because you don't have any physical representation for that energy. And we're kind of creating a doorway where you come in on these lines and listen and read the materials. You start to get the opportunity to make the connection. So, are you there, Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you ready?
I'm actually looking for the microphone on my phone because I couldn't find my speaker box.
I think your speaker box is in the car.
Oh, in your car?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay. All right. Well, I might be talking into the wrong end of the phone, but if I figure out, let me know.
Okay. Terry, you're quite a trooper. You know, when channeling actually takes energy, and I know because oftentimes when she channels, she eats a huge amount of time afterwards. And yesterday, we did this live event, and she did an awesome job for about an hour and a half answering people's questions. Are you tired today, Terry?
No. Not too bad. Not too bad.
I was really tired today. So, okay. So let's call in the light. By the way, the source, again, is usually goes by the name of Ra'an, and it's a combination of both group souls that are using this as a way of helping connect with you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy. We invoke a braiding of all the energies of all of us on the line, while maintaining the individual integrity of our own souls. We invite those sources to join this energy we're creating, to create a huge group energy available to us to ask. they can give an introduction anytime Terry feels their presence.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with you this day and our honor. We feel honored to be with you. And we are delighted to make this connection with each and every one of you. We are focused in Los Angeles, California, through the channeling instrument of Terry Brown, this March 8, 2010. We are also connected in each and every location where there are listeners or there will be listeners. We will then be connected with that area. Do you have questions?
Well, we announced that we were going to talk about where the negative came from. And we've had our previous discussions, probably for quite a few weeks, on how Elohim were the original energies that broke off or subdivided from the first cause energy in this realm, and that the original beginning of the creation of physicality was somewhat like a fun game or like painting a painting of shooting energies and making energies get concentrated and having them hold over time. And, of course, the actual holding over time was the beginning of the creation of time, because time does not exist as an absolute. It's a function of the consciousness interaction of beings. So originally, this was kind of fun and games, and there were life forms that were developing, and that there were Elohim souls coming into this realm and then going back. And at a certain point, it seems that things got more, how would I say it, intense as parts of this realm broke off and lost their connection with all that is. And there became the beginning of hierarchies. So could you explain a little bit how things got that way? And was that part of the original intent of the Elohim, that that should happen? Or where did the intent come from to create the separation?
The separation was an automatic feature of the venture of the soul into the third density, or even the fourth density, wherein the individual identified with manifest matter, and then in that identification lost his, hers, its knowledge or memory of the true nature, individual nature of the identity.
Were the souls that came into this realm aware that they would lose their memory and their identity of their true nature when they made the decision to come in?
No, they were not aware that they would lose their identity, for when one has their identity, one never thinks that they will lose it. It is through misidentification with other manifests thing that the individual begins to bleed away one's own self-centered and cognizant identity.
Now, there are a number of Elohim souls that did not come into this realm. Do you experience sadness or loss as souls would come into this realm and lose themselves?
We do. We experience frustration and sometimes sadness that we have lost our brothers, much as a family member might feel sadness if they would lose a family member.
Now, once this process started happening, did other souls go in with the idea of trying to rescue or help the souls that were here?
Yes. Individuals went in for various reasons. One of the reasons was to see what that experience was all about, as some of the individuals that came back were raving about the experience. Other individuals went in to understand more about the process and the changes that their fellow individuals went through and exhibited when they got back over to the other side, or others went in to find and to give help to those who did not ever come back.
And the ones that went in to help, of course, they would forget themselves that they came in to help once they got here.
Yes, but within their core being, they knew that they wished to help.
Mm-hmm. And then you have certain souls, like, say, for example, Daphne, and maybe I can't ask a question about her publicly if it feels clear with her high self to answer it. At one point, it was indicated that she came here to be a messenger. How come she could do that and the other souls that were Elohim couldn't?
It depends upon the intention of the individual, so that the individual would then make the choice and begin to identify or think in the direction that they wish to go. And it was her choice, and it was her fellow being's choice that she should go on the exploration trip, and she should be the messenger. We are speaking slowly as we are looking. However, we do not wish to explore this further, as it is her own travels that she needs to explore and remember herself.
Now, when we look at the physical realm as it is right now, there are many, many on Earth, just like, there's Earth, there's other planets, there's other solar systems. The universe is filled with life forms, were all these life forms derivative of the original Elohim that came into this realm, or did they form in some other way?
All that is intelligent and has a choroid energy, which then begins to be manifest life. The Elohim began the process as then it continued. There's an impetus and then a farther development as a result of the original impetus.
Is it something like one time I saw this little dome, little glass dome that had plants in it and different things in it, and the people that were selling it were saying that the life forms in this dome would evolve as in their own ecosystem. I think that was the word that was used, separate from the outside world, and that if you kept observing this dome, you would see things come forward out of seemingly nothingness, or certainly wasn't put there originally. Is that similar to the process that we're talking about?
Yes, it is, in that life has the ability to manifest and to grow and expand and to move into its own equilibrium.
So we could say that maybe there were two different classes of life in the physical universe as a generality. One life form was evolved from within the physical universe as a natural evolutionary process, and the other life form was from higher sources that moved into this realm. Is that a way of looking at it?
We would look at it as a broader range, not just a class of two, but a class of more than two ways.
Mm-hmm.
The one way being the impetus of setting up the circumstances for life, and once the impetus had been made and life had emerged and began to exist and explore itself, then it began to create other avenues or opportunities for life also. It is the basic circumstances for life, whether it is inside or outside, that create the opportunity for life to emerge.
So looking at it from this point of view, we could say that, you know, there's been a controversy in this realm between the Darwinists, who believed that everything evolved from natural causes from within this realm, and the creationists that believe that everything was created. Am I to understand that, in truth, that both of those things are true?
There is some evolution in the Darwinian sense, is a species has a natural selection, and then there are the basic circumstances within which life is created, which does not need the process of selection. There are variations where the Elohim have departments, or you might even call them pods, wherein they develop focusing mechanisms or forms within which life can inhabit. And there are other natural processes which are not the Darwin theory of evolution, where the energy streaming from the Huneb Ku can then vary the form and streamline the form to operate seamlessly in the new environment.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Somebody interrupted.
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
It's like Wynn and Terry dropped off.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're back.
Yeah, okay, we've been on. There's no indication that we were off. Sorry. So somehow all of this ended up in a huge hierarchy where certain life forms in this realm, not just on Earth, but in the greater universe, would attempt to control the energies of other life forms. And that was part of a natural development of the free will of the entities in this realm.
There is another process of selection in the third density, where in some forms do not survive as well within third density and fall off. Or there may be poor decisions made within the group, which then lead to the demise of the group.
Also, it's my understanding that in this realm, in third density, there have been advanced or very smart scientific beings that could actually create life or DNA patterns themselves. Is that correct?
Yes, there have been. There have been mistakes made also in the past, wherein mixing of human and animal DNA were attempted and created many failures.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? It's 7:52, and we'll have to end this now. Thank you. Do you have any final comments for us before we disconnect?
We have further to say upon this topic as to how the negative evolved, and we could continue it at another time. And we thank each and every one of you on the line or who listens to us, and we appreciate you, and we appreciate the connection more than you could know. God in the West.
Thank you. We'll continue this next week and understand this more, since it's a very important topic to understand, because many of us in this realm are under the patterns of negative things, and maybe we can learn how to break through those patterns by understanding how they got created. My name is Wayne Free. This is our Monday night conference call. I thank everybody for being here, and I thank PBS and Terry, and I'm going to stop the tape.
Press 1. This conference is no longer being recorded.